Deregulation will enable universities to differentiate, to play to their strengths.
Ian Young, chair of the powerful so-called Group of Eight Universities, was at the National Press Club today, affirming his support for deregulation of the university sector. But the debate continues about whether deregulation would lead to a better quality university education for all, or create a class divide between the haves and have-nots for those who can afford the likes of a $100,000 American Ivy League education. Jessica Ball has more.
The nature of our university system forces us, drives us to be average. We have very few terrible universities, but we also have no truly outstanding universities. Universities in Australia are largely funded by volume rather than by quality for both education and for research. And that funding creates a perverse incentive that is not good for education and not good for research and doesn't help us to be brilliant.
Ian Young, chair of the Group of Eight and also Vice-Chancellor of the Australian National University, addressing today's National Press Club. While he's very much in support of university deregulation, not everyone is convinced. Ginny Ray, president of National Tertiary Education Union, does not accept that deregulation is required for universities to fulfil their potential.
I think he's done a disservice to the Australian public university system, because in him wanting to talk up the research-intensive universities and the Group of Eight, but even particularly his own, the Australian National University, he is far too disparaging of the other universities in our system, and I think that's really unfair when the reality is that a degree from any of our public universities is a degree of value and is considered to be such. You know, wherever you get your teaching degree, your nursing degree, your engineering degree, your medical degree, they're a licensed and accredited degree. So after a few years, once you started work, and the surveys show this, what matters is the degree you've got, not what university you went to, and that's a really important thing in our society, as distinct from the US, where you can spend a whole career going, I went to this university, rather than I've got this degree.
While there's many key differences between the American and Australian education systems, Ian Young believes that a reduction in student numbers are a step in the right direction.
Our major research universities typically have student populations of more than 40,000 students. Compare that to Stanford with 15,000. Cambridge with 18,000, Tokyo with 28,000, ETH Zurich with 18,000, and the outstanding Caltech with just 2,200 students.
Jeannie Ray, president of National Tertiary Education Union, said it's not the key measure of success.
What we've had happen in Australia is move from being a country where universities were really rather elite, and we had a college and teaching college, technical institute system. We put all them together 25 years ago, and we've been moving quite rapidly with the increase in places towards a mass higher education system. Indeed, some are saying as we start to get most people who school leavers who might want to go to university, as long as they can afford to stay there once they get there, can get a place in a course at the moment. That's moving quite towards a universal access, which is pretty much the case in the US, across Europe. Although, of course, in the US, what college you get to go to depends how much money you or your family has. We don't want to end up with that system.
Ian Young defended claims that deregulation will lead to extreme increases to the cost of higher education, but there's still big concerns over the maximum fees that universities could charge.
The deregulation debate here has resulted in what I think are highly unlikely claims of enormous fees that will saddle students with debt for life. We must not forget that we have HECS. The US does not. Through HECS, we can ensure that academic ability, not financial background, is the only barrier to university entry. I must add for the record that the government needs to seriously reconsider the impact of charging a real rate of interest on that debt.
What do you think of charging students a real rate of interest on their HECS debt?
Look, I think that is the affordability of higher education quite unsustainable for many people. So you've first of all got increased costs for the fees anyway, which will cut many people out. Then the very notion of that you then will be paying an interest rate which can just escalate over time. So we calculated that with, for example, an accounting course, very common course, currently about $30,000, once you add in the new fees are likely to be, it's likely to go up about three times up to about 75,000. Then once you add in that market interest rate, you're getting towards that $100,000. We're not kidding about the $100,000 degrees, and that's an accounting degree. But if you're someone who took some time out of earning a decent income, such as to have children, you could find yourself paying maybe $120,000. So you could have women in their 50s still paying off their HEX debt when their kids want to go to uni.
Jeannie Ray, President of the National Tertiary Education Union, ending that report by Jessica Ball.